Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. 720 WGN.
And that was Terry Savage, personal finance expert. We'll talk to her in the first half hour of the program. Welcome to the Biz Lunch. I'm Steve Bertrand. Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business will be here a little bit later. They're out today with their 40 under 40. And once again, I was not on it. I'm beginning to think I'm not.
Are you still under 40?
No, I'm not.
All right, me but either.
Thanks for asking with such enthusiasm there. Good afternoon, Terry Savage.
I'm glad to be here with you, Steve.
Everyone in the political world is watching Capitol Hill, which is where Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is, but they aren't really watching.
No, they're not Fed watching. Chairman they're Jerome not. Powell. It's just the weirdest thing that the Fed Chairman is testifying, the focus of all financial market hopes and fears, and nobody's paying attention because everybody's watching impeachment.
Well, what did he say? Pretty much that things are going to stay the way they are?
He said the economy's pretty good and that they don't look for any changes, so that wipes out anything in December. We had inflation numbers today that were about as expected, maybe a little stronger.
Highest since March,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but 1.8%. We're still under the Fed's 2% target, so there's no reason for the Fed to do anything, even if they knew what to do. So, and nobody's paying attention anyway, so we can wipe out the Fed. And by the way, in the midst of all of this,
right,
the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, heading for a new all-time high.
Yeah.
So go figure.
When is that going to end?
I'll be sure and let you know the day before so you and I can get out ahead of everyone else.
You know, more frustrating, I think, than watching politicians during a hearing is trying to figure out open enrollment, signing up for insurance. And we talked about that last week a little bit, but it's time to talk about Medicare as well, right?
Right. Now, separate topic. Open enrollment. Last week I said, you know, healthcare plan at work. Take a good look, maybe a health savings account. Look at what they're offering. Look at the doctors in your network and so forth. If you didn't have health care at work, I talked about the Affordable Care Act and going to ehealthinsurance.com and looking for an individual policy and how to compare. Okay, you figure once you're on Medicare, hey, it's easy. You just got Medicare. Everybody thinks Medicare is so easy. There are a lot of things. In fact, in the new book, I wrote a whole chapter on Medicare and Social Security because they leave for seniors the most complex things. But once you're in Medicare and Social Security, you don't think you have to worry about it. However, you do. And here's a key point. First of all, you have two things that you can change during this current open Medicare enrollment period that ends December 7th. You might be getting mailings about switching to Medicare Advantage, the all-in-one package. It's cheaper. You won't have to worry about bills. You don't need a supplement. Beware of that, folks, because although it looks easy, you're limited to the doctors and hospitals in that network.
Right, okay.
And when you want to switch back, you may not be able to get a Medicare supplement that's as good as your old one if you have a health condition. Now, that's one key point. But the second key point is, if you're on Medicare, even if you're not taking prescription drugs, you ought to have Part D, the drug insurance. And you say, yeah, I've had that. I've had the same one for years. This year, absolutely, this week, go to medicare.gov/plan-compare because they have changed so much in every drug plan. Not all your drugs may be covered. Not all of them may be covered at the same rate versus generics. The donut hole is going away. But more important, even if you don't take any drugs and you had this wonderful plan that you pay $13.82 a month, believe it or not, I know of a case where that jumped to $58.
Wow.
And if you hadn't checked about what's the best plan for you, where you put in your own Medicare number and they let you know what your prescriptions were last year.
It's at terrysavage.com, and the number's there. You can see the website. Yeah. And get your pill bottles out. Put your pill bottles out in front of you.
But if you have Part D, go to medicare.gov and compare. The exact link to that site is right at terrysavage.com.
Our phone number is 312-981-7200, and we got several people want to have a question for Terry. We'll start with Shirley. Shirley, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hello, Shirley, are you there? Hello.
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, what can we do for you?
I've heard advertisements about these high interest savings accounts, and I was wondering what Terry's opinion was on those and if there's any downside to them.
Well, the question is it a high interest FDIC insured savings account? Sure, you can certainly check around and find rates higher than are offered by your local bank, which figures you're going to roll over your CD no matter what. But there are also a lot of things out there that portend to be CDs, and they suck you into believing they are. So for starters, you can go to bankrate.com and check CD rates in the Chicago area. And I wrote a wonderful column. You can find it at Terry Savage. If you search inside the column box at Max My Interest, M-A-X-M-Y Interest.
But so
if you have a lot of money to roll in CDs,
I mean, you should be leery if you're getting solicitations in the mail for high interest savings.
Well,
I mean, that sounds...
Well, these are like from Capital One, and they're 1.9% usually, and you don't have to commit to any time. So it's different than a CD.
Well, you have to look at the terms of each one of them. Anything offered by Capital One, and if it's FDIC insured, I wouldn't bother worrying about, because we're talking about legitimate financial companies.
Correct.
If it is FDIC insured, that don't have a lot of bricks and mortar, so they can also offer to pay you a little bit more. But just, you want to worry, you made a good point, about the liquidity of it. How you wire your money in? Will they wire the money back to your account? You know, people do this for a $10,000 or $20,000 CD, and by the time they lose 5 days or 3 days interest getting their money into the CD or getting the money back to their own bank, it's probably a wash that you got a little, maybe a half a point higher interest.
Shirley, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we're going to stick with the S's and run to Sandy. Sandy, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hi. What can we do for you?
My question is, if and when a recession were to hit, am I better off being in the S&P 500 than to have random stocks globally or wherever? Am I going to have less of a problem?
Okay, let's
sounds like you,
let's
should
start
you have
with
a,
this.
Should you
let's
have a
not quote? Confuse a recession with a bear market. Because
okay.
they are not necessarily simultaneous or contiguous or coexistent. But you're just asking me, if bad stuff happens and the stock market goes down, where can I hide? Now, there's an old expression that says when the U.S. stock market sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold.
I thought that was O'Hare Airport.
That's true. Also in a rainy and a horrible day. The point being that there's no place to hide in the stock market from losses. So if you knew exactly when the stock market was going to go down, even anywhere in the U.S. or anywhere else in the world, you would be best off in cash, in a money market account or treasury bills. The S&P 500 is an index. It broadens your risk because it's the largest 500 companies in America. But some of, you know, those may be weighted to tech companies and so forth. So there's really no place to hide. You have to decide what's your time horizon, Sandy. So if you say, I've got to take an RMD, required minimum distribution.
Okay.
Thanks. That's jargon. If you're retired and you're going to be forced to take some money out, take it out while the market's up and leave it in a money market so you're not forced to sell in the middle of a decline. If you're 27 and you're putting in $500 a month in your IRA or 401k and your boss is matching it, you don't even care about the next market decline.
Right.
So it's not where to hide. It's what's your circumstance. How much money do you need to hide? And how, you know, I want to repeat this. There's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company stocks.
You just got to be around
with dividends
for 20
reinvested.
Years.
But you have to be willing not to have a panic attack in those 20 years. Now, we are now, I mean, this S&P's up 20%+ this year. Remember last fall we had that huge decline.
Yeah, but,
pigs
but,
get fat and hogs get slaughtered, another savage truth.
What does that mean?
It means that don't get greedy, especially if it's money you can't afford to lose. If you have a long time horizon, just ride out the next bear market. But look what's happened to your account in the last decade. When the Dow was 6,700, we're over, you know.
Are you feeling calm, Sandy? Did she make you calm? Feeling better?
A little bit.
That's what we're aiming for.
The best savage truth here is sell down to the sleeping point. If you're beginning to be a bit nervous because you think you were just...
Yeah, but then you're going to miss out.
You know, you have to dedicate yourself to the fact that at some point in your life, I'd rather protect what I have.
Right.
And I'm satisfied with that, with at least a portion of my money.
All right, Sandy, thank you for the call. We're going to move on to news this week about Walgreens perhaps going private. And I think that's what Jerry has a question about. Jerry, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you. I have a question regarding the Walgreens stock. How is this going to affect the shareholders?
So how does that work when a company goes private?
So there will be a tender offer presuming the board approves the deal. Now, the board doesn't have to approve the deal, but the board will lobby for the highest price. So if someone comes and lobs in, private equity firm, we'll pay $1 zillion to buy all your stock. They have the controlling share. They'll get the controlling shares. Then Walgreens could say, well, that's certainly not enough. We're holding out for more. Someone else might come in, or this acquirer might raise its bid. Then there will be a tender offer. You will submit your stock because you will know that this is going to be the best deal you'll get in your lifetime, and you'll get cash. You'll have a capital gain depending on how long you've owned the stock.
But there's no other choice but to cash out.
At that point, when the company board approves a deal, absolutely.
So, Jerry, what do you think? Are you hoping it goes through, or are you just worried that it's not going to go through?
I have mixed feelings on that. I have 30 years of investment in trust in Walgreens stock, so I don't know. That's going to really...
The truth is, it hasn't done... Walgreens stock hasn't done very well in the last... I'm just looking at trying to pull up the chart, but the stock hasn't been great recently.
But it's a good point, though, because Jerry's talking a little bit about emotion here, too, right? Jerry, you're kind of emotionally invested in this.
Yeah,
Did you work there?
No, my husband and I invested when we were first married, and my husband has been deceased for over 30 years now, and
I kept
the stock, which is in trust.
It sounds as if...
It's not in trust. Wait, Jerry, let me just give you a different thing. Don't be sentimental about stocks. You're going to spend your money one way or another. Maybe you'll spend it on Medicare prescription drugs. Maybe you'll spend it on a vacation. But no matter what any company did for you in the past, you need to look at it today. I will say that if I make a tax point, do you have children or grandchildren?
Yes.
Okay. So just presumably you had a very low cost on any stock. And it's kind of ghoulish to bring up, but when you die under the current tax law, your heirs get the stock at the value of the stock on the date of death. If, in fact, they kind of force you to sell your Walgreens in this tender offer, which you will be forced to do, then you will have a capital gain. So you'll have to pay taxes, depending on your tax bracket. It won't be that much, but you'll have to pay taxes on the gains. So you would, of course, want to hope to go to your grave holding this big position of Walgreens stock so your heirs could get it. But the more important thing is, don't be sentimental about a stock. It did a good thing for you. It gave you dividends over the years. If it's bought out, you will have cash. You'll pay the taxes. You'll either use it yourself or you'll leave it to your children and grandchildren.
I get the sentiment, Jerry, but it's probably a good idea to let that go.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And we're going to move
on
now.
Thank you for the advice. I appreciate that.
We were talking about Medicare earlier, and let's go to, I think it's Al on the phone line here. Let me find Al. Welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Wanted to know if there's any Part D plans that don't have a donut hole.
Well, Medicare itself has a donut hole built into Part D, which is disappearing slowly. And it will be allegedly gone.
Tell me in 10 seconds
year.
What a donut hole is.
There's a point after you've laid out certain amount of money out of your pocket and you've gotten co-payments from Medicare, from your insurance, where the sort of insurance disappears, leaving you with a big bill to pay. And then after that, you get catastrophic insurance for 100% of your drug costs. It changes every year. This year, it's different for brand name drugs and generics. And, it's so complicated. I'll send you to Medicare.gov. But during the period of the donut hole, you're responsible for 25% of the cost of your brand name drugs. And I don't want to even get into
it. So there's no getting around it.
There's no getting around it. There's no insurance for the donut hole itself. If you take enough drugs, even though you have a good Part D plan and it covers all your drugs and you know that you've put in generics or brand names because that's what you want to take, there's a point where you're going to be exposed to cost. It happens to everybody who takes a lot of drugs. They're trying to do away with that. And by next year, I think it's going to be completely gone.
All right, Al, thank you for the call. And again, the column is up at terrysavage.com. I think there's a glitch right now online, so you might want to try it a little bit later. But terrysavage.com. Terry, great to see you again.
Good to be with you.
It's 12:38. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, in the studio now is Nancy Cummings. It's like how Santa Claus would come after the Thanksgiving Day parade. Nancy, I think you come right before the shopping season, just about every year to
just
talk.
Just like Santa, exactly.
Nancy is the Executive Director of LaGrange Business Association. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
So are we gearing up for, I mean, we're talking about Small Business Saturday, which is November 30th, but when it comes to small businesses, is it the same as big retail? I mean, are the holidays really key? I guess it depends on what you're selling. What your business
is. Yes, the fourth quarter is a game changer for small business. It's a make or break situation. So holiday shopping and supporting your local community by shopping in the stores and doing business with the services that are located there is supremely important on the economic vibrancy of a community.
So the Small Business Saturday idea came, I think it was an American Express program, right?
It is. 2010? It's in its 10th year now.
Mm-hmm. And so are they actively involved with you in doing things?
They do a great job of supporting the campaign and launching business organizations like mine and retail merchants as well into understanding that this needs to be an event, that's a campaign that should be talked about and celebrated,
right?
And that's what we do.
So rather than just encourage people to say, oh, you're out of guilt, you should be doing this, you're finding reasons for them to come out and go to the stores.
Exactly. We create reasons to have increased foot traffic in LaGrange, and other associations like ours do the same thing as well. And part of the Shop Small or the Shop Local campaign with American Express is also training or opening up the eyes of the local retailers that they need to sell themselves as a destination as well with engaging activities and events on their own.
It's all about experience these days, right?
It's all about experience.
So what's going on in LaGrange on Small Business Saturday?
We've got a lot going on Small Business Saturday. We're doing a major campaign and including a LaGrange flash sale. So from 10 to 3, you can get tremendous deals at lots of different merchants in town. And then we have a LaGrange mobile app, so you can download the free app and find out what's happening. We've got live ice carving demonstrations. We've got local music groups that are performing. So we're really kicking off with a lot of great events.
So do you have businesses that don't buy in?
Not really.
Sort of like Grinches
yeah,
along
we
LaGrange
have no
Road?
Grinches. No? There are no Grinches in LaGrange. No, the businesses, if they're not buying in, everyone buys in, but if a business is not able to step up more fully, it's really a time crunch. It's just, we've got a small business owner, which is no surprise to anyone, has a lot on their plate. And so they've got their own must-do list. And so they jump on and jump off different promotions as they are equipped to do so.
All right, so tell me about, because I'm always interested in this, in communities that click and that communities that don't. You know, that in LaGrange is one of those. I think Highwood is a community that really is clicked. Libertyville is another one like that. What is it? Why do some have it and some don't?
Wow, that's a good question. LaGrange definitely does click. And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that the businesses there, not just retailers or restaurants, but all the businesses, they collaborate together. They understand that there's strength in numbers. And so they work with our business association in really coming together and supporting us and supporting initiatives that they know are going to be strong. I think it's recognizing this is what you have to do to market yourself as a community. And again, recognizing that there's strength in numbers and we all work together.
So what does your business association do in general? Do you do like what American Express does for Small Business Saturday? I mean, you're out there fostering, giving ideas, training employers, or what do you
exactly? We had a breakfast for retailers a few weeks ago at Blueberry Hill, one of our local restaurants, and we brought the retailers together and said, here's this campaign, this is what we're launching, these are suggestions for how you think we can get involved. We're working with a public relations and marketing agency, Ripson Group, that assists us in spreading the word,
right,
and in launching ideas for local businesses.
Do you find that your shopping area is a destination, or is it a place that people happen upon and shop? And by that, I mean, you know, people say, I'm going to Highwood. We're going there to do that. Do you say, I'm going to LaGrange to sort of spend the day?
LaGrange is absolutely a destination for two reasons. One is I think we do a lot of events and promotions that make it a destination for day tourism. And the other is we've got a really robust restaurant community. So if people come for our events, they come to shop during the day, and then they stay to go to the movies at LaGrange Theater. They stay to go to the restaurants. They stay to perhaps take in a comedy show or a concert. So it is a destination, and it's positioned so well, I think, just as from a from an urban planning perspective, it just carries itself
Explain
well.
Explain that for me, will you?
It's a very intimate community, and it's got the advantage of being walkable. So when you go to downtown LaGrange, that includes the historic West End, it includes the South End, and you can walk from end to end. It's very close to the train station. It's right by Metra, so you're an 18-minute train ride from the Loop. So it really is positioned well between LaGrange Road, which is a major artery with the train, and with where it's positioned within the local communities.
Nancy Cummings is the executive director of the LaGrange Business Association. Thanks for coming by, and have a great Small Business Saturday.
All righty. Thank you so much.
It's the Biz Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Guys, it's almost here. The largest Starbucks in the world is almost open right on Michigan Avenue. Previews were held earlier this week for media to look at the design, features, and everything that's going on the four different floors. The Starbucks Roastery Reserve opens on Friday the 15th at 7 a.m. And the different floors feature different experiences for customers, like getting your freshly roasted and brewed coffee on the first floor, Scientific Education Center on the third floor, and a gelato bar on the fourth floor. This is going to be a huge tourist attraction and right in time for the holidays. But it's a sad day for the publishing world, as Tribune Publishing is planning on shutting down the Spanish newspaper, Hoy. It's been around for 16 years. It started in New York back in 1998, and the Tribune bought the paper 2 years later in 2000. The paper will be around until December 13th, and as things go digital, you have to wonder if this fate will chase other big players like the Tribune. Buen trabajo, Hoy. Buen trabajo. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It's 12:51. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. On the phone line now is Frank Sennett, joins us from Crane Chicago Business to look at some of the headlines there. Frank, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, so the city council is meeting. I don't know if they're still meeting or if they've wrapped up for the day. But the idea is they're looking at Mayor Lightfoot's budget. I think there's a big public comment period today on the budget. She went down to Springfield yesterday, and I don't know if it's too early to call it a fail, right? But she certainly didn't come back with any guarantees that she's going to get what she needs for her budget.
That's right. The big thing that she's looking for is the increase in the real estate transfer tax, or the creation of real estate transfer tax in the veto session or in the spring. It's very uncertain if that's going to happen. And so because the budget needs to be approved in December, she's floated an alternative, a Plan B budget that includes additional property tax hikes, which, nobody seems to be very thrilled about.
I don't know if she was telling that she was trying to warn residents or if she was trying to warn legislators. You know, you see things my way or property taxes are going to be on your neck.
Yeah, a little of both, I think. And there's also the question of the $40 million tax hike that's being proposed on Uber and the other rideshare Lyft, rides, whether that is going to pass the city council or not. So those are a couple of big things hanging out there that are uncertain. And if they don't come to pass, it's the tried and true. Cutting spending and raising property taxes seems to be the recipe.
And they said cutting down on overtime for the fire department, which no one wants to hear if your house is on fire, I guess.
That's right. Yeah, we're taking off because Lyft had a good and Uber had a good political lobbying campaign.
Right, exactly. Okay, so but I want to talk about that because I love this story that it's Lime, right? Yeah, Lime does the scooters. And Lime is weighing in on the rideshare tax. Now, they don't do rideshares, but they compete with Uber and Lyft when it comes to scooters and things like that. And they're saying, yeah, we think that this tax is a good idea. It will cut down on congestion. Of course, that could mean more Lime riders in the city if Lime right. gets the contract.
Yeah, it's this wonderful political story, right? It's what we call a real sweet win-win for Lime. They get to espouse this progressive policy position in a way that, if it comes to pass, will help their business. But they say, which is because it's good for the city.
We're going to hug a tree.
It'll help our business. We didn't even know, really. It's a wonderful. I love these political stories. I'm sure that Uber and Lyft think they're being a little Eddie Haskell-ish to use a very old reference, but it's a smart political position to stake out, and I'm sure the mayor is not too unhappy about it.
And of course, Lime doesn't have a scooter contract, so the city doesn't have a permanent program yet. You guys are out with your 40 Under 40 for this year. And I looked at Jeremy Colleton, the Blackhawks coach, was on there.
That's right. It's a very eclectic list. You've got everybody from, you know, pro sports franchise coaches to, you know, banking to Congresswoman Lauren Underwood,
right,
to, you know, people at tech companies, people at medical companies. It really runs the gamut. It's quite an interesting list this year.
And so, I mean, I was going to say, what do they have in common? Well, they're all under 40. We know that.
That's right.
Do you see any sort of strains or any commonalities that are shared there aside from age?
There are a lot of firsts, you know, first woman to hold a position, person of color, that kind of thing. They also have a big civic commitment. So they serve on boards, they do charitable work. They are in positions of some influence. As I say, it runs every industry. But those are some common threads, I think, that run through the class.
Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business. Frank, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Steve.